before we read the passage of scripture, just a few words about Nyang'ombe. That's the place where we worked in Zambia, Nyang'ombe. It's a Bible school that we built, and the Lord has blessed it, and it's been going on now for 22 years. We've been out there for 45 years altogether. But this last, just recently, we've had a lot of problems. So I'm particularly asking you to pray for Nyang'ombe. Just one of the problems we had recently, one of the young men that we trained there, who went out and started another discipleship centre about 100 miles from where we are, that was going very, very well. They have a well, and he let the bucket down into the well, and it dropped off some time ago. And he waited till the dry season, then he's gone down the well to get it out. And when he went down there, he went unconscious. So they sent somebody else down, who also went unconscious, but they managed to wind him out again. They sent a third person who also went unconscious, and they managed to get him out, but the first man died. And we think it must have been methane gas or something like that. He has a big family, he's a young man, and because some of the people round about say it's witchcraft. He's been down before, nothing happened, so it must be witchcraft. His name is Winston Chizao, and he has a wife and several children. Would you pray for his wife and children? A few days after that, we have another young man. There's a family that's been associated with our Bible school from the very beginning. In fact, associated with me since I first went out there in 1966. A Christian family. He has 15 children. One of the young men has been trained by a missionary. He's got quite highly trained, gone off to the mines. He's about 30 years of age, and driving back last week, his wife was having a baby, and so he's driving back to be with his wife. And we don't have any traffic on our roads, and he's driving in the middle of the night, but suddenly a lorry crashed into him, and he was killed. And so that village also, the people round about say it's definitely witchcraft. The only one that's truly educated in the whole family, who's supporting the family, was killed. And then one of our evangelists, his daughter got sick, and they found it was typhoid, and she died. So we've three things there that have all become kind of an oppressive cloud upon the Bible school. And at the same time, we have 24 hours of electricity. We generate it by hydroelectric. It's been a wonderful thing. It supplies all the workshop, all the food that we have. It waters the garden, it supplies the farm, it gives the electricity when we have Bible schools. It's broken down, and we found that we probably think it needs a new alternator. It's a 90 kVA three-phase alternator. It revolves at 1,000 revs per minute. We've checked up to see if we could buy a new one. They no longer manufacture one that revolves at that speed. We have to get one at 1,500 revs per minute. But to do that, we have to get a gearbox to run that. So it becomes very, very expensive indeed. So that is another problem that we have. So would you pray for Nyang'ombe? Pray that God... These things only come because God is blessing it. The devil wants to attack and God wants to bless, so we just accept that, you know, dark times do come, but these dark times do reveal that God has got his perfect plan for his life. It reminds me of two verses in one psalm. As for God, his way is perfect. But then there's another verse further down. And he makes my way perfect. So I believe that is God in his sovereignty. Now we're going to read Luke chapter 5, verse 12. I think I'll just read it from here. Then we're all reading the same from the same script. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came who was covered in leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest." It's funny, Jesus has gone back to the Old Testament here, hasn't he? "Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Now we'll stop there, because that's really what I want to speak about this morning. So three things I want to think about. I want to think about the sick man. There's a sick man here. I want to think about the doctor, who's the Lord Jesus. And I want to think about the priest. He was a Levitical priest, one from the Old Testament and from Moses. So we're thinking about the sick man, we're thinking about the Lord Jesus, and we're thinking about the Levitical priest. You notice that it says covered up above. It says, this man was covered in leprosy. The word covered is a Greek word called pleroma. Any Greek scholars here? Because I need to be careful if there's any Greek scholars. Pleroma. We get that in Colossians. You see it a lot in Colossians. And it's always referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word in Colossians means fullness. And it says, all the fullness of the deity dwells in Jesus. Every part of the being of the Lord Jesus, every part of Jesus, in his spirit, in his soul, in his body, he was full of the deity. He was God's own son. It's the fullness. And in the Old Testament, I mean in the old version, the authorized version, it doesn't actually say covered, it says full. It says there was a man who was full of leprosy. In other words, this disease had gone into every part of his body. Do you know how many cells there are in the human body? Something like 10 trillion, I think, cells in the human body. That's an awful lot of cells. Well, every one of those cells was affected. This thing had spread throughout the whole of his body, everywhere. There was no part of his body that was free of this disease. He was full of leprosy, full of this disease. Today we would be very specific. I went to the Mish School of Medicine and I studied leprosy there, not in any depth, but I did study leprosy whilst I was there. And I looked under the microscope and we saw these things. And it's called a microbacterium. And it's an anaerobic, that means it lives on oxygen, needs oxygen. It's an anaerobic rod-shaped bacillus. So it's a microbacterium, an anaerobic rod-shaped bacillus. Now that's very specific, isn't it? But it doesn't say that in the Bible, does it? It doesn't actually use those words. Because in those days they didn't have microscopes and they hadn't classified all the bacteria and all the viruses and all that kind of thing. They looked for signs and symptoms. And if somebody had a white, reddish patch on their skin, it could possibly be leprosy. That's what it tells us in Leviticus. The second thing is, there was a loss of sensitivity in the skin. So if you get a white patch or a red patch and a loss of sensitivity, watch out. But there's a third thing, there's a thickening of the peripheral nerves, which means that you tend to injure. Because there's no sensation, they tend to injure the ends, the peripheries, the ends of their nerves on their fingers and toes and ears and nose and those sorts of places. And this word in Hebrew means a scaliness. So if you get those three things and it starts to scale off, and the word in the Greek means to be scourged or having been scourged. In other words, the flesh is coming off. It's red raw. And if it's infectious and it starts to spread, and if it then starts to spread to somebody else, that is Bible leprosy. That is biblical leprosy. It might not be the mycobacterium that we've talked about, but in the Bible, when it talks about leprosy, it's this kind of infectious disease that spreads, that slowly destroys, that doesn't kill. Leprosy doesn't kill. It's the secondary other things that come in and cause that. But it's something that is incurable, something this horrible. Do you know, I'd rather die of a heart attack than this kind of disease. Or a road accident. It's over and done with quickly. But this disease, it doesn't kill. It slowly eats away. It destroys the person. There was no medicine for it. There was only one way that they could deal with this disease, and that was exclusion. You look through the Bible in the Old Testament. If somebody got this kind of infectious disease that was spreading, and it was obviously it would spread to other people, or there's a possibility it might spread to other people, the only way of dealing with it was exclusion. They had to go outside of the village or town. And they had to dress in a certain way that people could see at a glance that they were lepers, and people had to keep their distance. Because we didn't want the whole nation, the whole community, infected with this disease. So it had to be contained. So isolation. So it destroyed his social mobility. It destroyed his family life. It deformed. Because people with the diseases, often you find that they've got no noses, their ears have gone, their fingers have gone, their toes have gone. It dehumanizes a person. And it destabilizes not only the man, it destabilizes his family, and it destabilizes the whole community. So you can see, it is a terrible thing. And the ancients believed that only God could heal. They'd tried everything. But only God could heal this kind of skin infection, this kind of leprosy. And this man was breaking the law. I don't know if you noticed here. Says he was in one of the towns. He should never have been in one of the towns. He was actually breaking the law. He should have been outside the town. But he was desperate. And he's in one of the towns. Hopelessness. The only thing that he could look forward to, really, was death. That was the only release that he could look forward to. The young man in Zambia, Malichi, 19, he came to me. Well, first of all, I knew him before this. He was a tall, slim, handsome young man, 19. The girls liked him. But one day I was called to him, and when I saw him, he was stinking. Nobody would go anywhere near him. He was covered with all. He'd got a fungus disease. He'd got a scabies on top of that, and then he'd got this other skin just like we've been describing here on top of that, and it was from his head down to his feet, and he was absolutely stinking. No one would have anything to do with him, and not only that, but he'd got maggots and things that were also living. So everywhere he sat was contaminated. If he sat on a chair, that was so you'd never sit on anything that he'd sat. You wouldn't touch anything that he had touched. And he was excluded from his society. And I thought, that was just like this man here. And they called me to come and help this young man. Well, I had a clinic, but I didn't want him to come into the clinic because everywhere he walked, he contaminated, you see. So we did it out in the bush. We went behind an anthill. I took rubber gloves. I took all my box of medicines. I took a bucket of water, hot water, and I took liquid soap, and we washed him first of all, from head to foot. But this had to be done many, many, many times. We washed him over. I picked off the bit of flesh. I tried to deal with it. I'm sorry if I'm making you a bit squeamish here, but I'll cut it short. It took a long time, but gradually it began to heal. I gave him antibiotics. They didn't have that in those days. We're glad now that we've got things that can deal with these things. And I had very specific antibiotics that I gave him 3 times a day. And I gave him vitamins and other minerals as well. And we gave him good food and looked after him. And about 6 months later, the transformation, you wouldn't have believed it. Of course, we had to wash him, wash all his clothes. He had to come with different clothes every day because he wasn't allowed to put on the old clothes. And it was like a new birth for this man. And he went back and his family accepted him. And he got married. Now he's a married man and he's got children. So miracles do happen, you know. Sometimes God uses medicines, sometimes he uses people. But unfortunately, this time, there was nothing for this man. It was wonderful to see Malachi. And when I go back every time now and I see him, it really gives me a bit of a thrill in my heart. And there are quite a few people like that. So this was a man with a big problem. A problem that no one else could solve. There was no one could help him with his problem. But thankfully, there was another person around. So we've seen the sick man, but there was a doctor there called Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Now this man said, "Lord, if you are willing, Lord, if you are willing, you can." You see what he says? If you are willing, that's the big doubt. Is it? He had a doubt. What did he doubt? Did he doubt the power of Jesus? From what he says there, "Lord, if you are willing," what does he say? "You can. I know that you have the power to heal leprosy." How did he know that? There was faith in this man. He had faith. It was faith that came because he must have heard, he must have seen. You don't just get this kind of faith out of the air, you know. You don't just pluck it out of the air. Faith comes from a knowledge about things. And he had the knowledge from the facts that this man, Jesus, had gone around. He'd spoken to a man and his eyes were opened. Another man and his ears were opened. Another man who had been a cripple from birth and he leapt for joy. Another was raised from the dead. "Lord, I know that you're able. But are you willing? Are you willing?" And what did Jesus say? "I am willing. I am willing. Be clean." That's a command, isn't it? I am willing. One thing I've found of walking with Jesus for 58 years, it's amazing, I just thought in bed this morning, it's 58 years since I became a Christian. In fact, it might be 59, I can't remember. But all those years, what I found about Jesus is more willing than usually we give him credit for. I really loved the word you gave this morning. It really did my heart good, did that word. It really blessed me. It's our doubts, you know. It's not his willingness. It's our doubts that seem to restrict the blessing coming through to us. And Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean." I suppose he thought he might not be willing because the man was actually breaking the law, wasn't he? He should never have been in the town. A lawbreaker. And still Jesus is willing. Even though he shouldn't have been there. Jesus was willing. Even though we're not worthy. Jesus is willing. Because Jesus was a lawbreaker as well. Have you noticed? There were two lawbreakers here this morning. The man should never have been there. How did Jesus break the law? He should never have touched him. Completely forbidden. Jesus should not have touched the leper. Why should a man not touch the leper? There's a little story in Haggai. Don't know if you've read Haggai. It's a lovely little book, is Haggai. And there the prophet gives them a little, or God gives the prophet a little conundrum. He says, if a priest takes an offering and it's blessed and it's cleansed and it's holy, and he's walking with this holy offering, this holy flesh, and he touches something unclean, what will happen to that unclean thing that he's touched? What will happen to the offering? If something clean touches something unclean, what happens? Does the unclean become clean, or does the clean become unclean? Wouldn't it be wonderful if when you washed one of the windows of your house, it spread? Contagion, infection. Wouldn't it be wonderful if health and holiness was infectious? But it isn't. But uncleanness is infectious. Sickness is contagious. But Jesus wasn't afraid of being infected. Jesus wasn't afraid of contagion, because Jesus cannot be infected by sin. Can't be touched by it. So Jesus was not really breaking the law. It was only breaking the law if there was a possibility that you could be infected. So Jesus reached out his hand. You think of that. I wonder how long this man had been sick. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? He was the first person that touched him. He'd never felt a human touch during the whole of his sickness. But suddenly he feels warm flesh against his body. The touch of Jesus. What a wonderful feeling that must have been, to feel a human touch. So Jesus touched him. We live at in Winnilunga. If you go a bit further down, there's a place called Chitokoloki. Anybody heard of Chitokoloki? Well, you have. You've heard of Chitokoloki. Well, I went down to Chitokoloki. The word Chitokoloki means a clean place. That's what it means in our language. Kutokoloka means to be clean. Chitokoloki is a clean place. Well, I went down to this place, and they have a leprosy village. And there are hundreds of houses. It's all walled off. It's part of the hospital complex. But there were hundreds and hundreds of people in this, because in that area, leprosy was very bad. And the doctor, Dr. Jim Worsfold, said, would you like to go and see our leprosy village? I said, yes. So we went in. I know it was a big stockade. And we went through the gate, and we turned round to the left. I can see it in my eye now. And there was a little hut there. There were huts everywhere, all the way around. Very nice little huts, but there were small ones. And outside this hut was a man sitting on the ground. And Jim said, this is so-and-so. I looked at him. He had no nose. He had no ears. He had no fingers. And he had no toes. And I said to Jim, what's happened to them? He said, oh, because of what I told you at the beginning, the peripheral nerves are damaged. The rats come in the middle of the night and eat off the fingers and eat off the nose. He says, it's a real problem to know how to keep the rats from eating our leprosy patients. He says, it's a constant battle. And I looked at this man, and suddenly he reached out his hand to me to shake my hand. And I got my heart missed a beat. I thought, what do I do? And I thought, Lord, give me the grace, please. And I reached out my hand, and I shook the stump of his hand. And Jim laughed. He said, I saw the battle you were going through. He says, but his disease is burnt out. It's no longer contagious. So don't worry, you won't get anything. But I was a bit worried for a moment there, but not Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand. And I like this word here, if you can see it, immediately. I've been to a few healing campaigns. Have you ever been to one? And people come with their crutches. And they leave the crutches and they go limping. There's no immediate healing. I believe that God heals today, and he can heal today. But there was no tomorrow, next day, next week, next year. Immediately, the leprosy left him. What a wonderful thing it was. But then Jesus said a strange thing to me. I'll try and finish within the next 2 minutes. The Levitical priest. It's a bit strange. You know, Jesus was the end of the Old Testament. He still lived in it, but he was the one that was bringing it all to a conclusion. Why send this man back? Well, he lived in a society. People were afraid of leprosy. And there were no qualified doctor. But the person who was qualified to understand how to recognise leprosy was the priest. He was taught from his earliest days how to recognise it and what to do if a person became a leper. How to examine him, wait, give an incubation period, wait and see and check. And eventually, if it definitely was, he had to be put outside the village. But if a person by some strange means was cleansed, the only person that could bring him back again that was acceptable to society was the priest. If the priest didn't say yes, there was no way that person could get back into society again. Now, Jesus knew that. He lived in that day. And he wanted this man not only to be cleansed, not only to be healed, but he wanted him to be restored to his wife, to his children, to his work, to his family, to become a responsible member of society again, to begin to contribute again. And you can't do that unless you come back in. And the only way he could come back in was to go to the Old Testament priest. And when he went to the priest, there was a certain ceremony that had to be gone through. You know, that the Old Testament is there for our learning. It's different, but it's there for our learning. That's why we have to read the Old Testament. What happened when he went to the priest? Well, there had to be three things that had. He had to have fresh water. He had to have blood. And he had to have oil. Three things. Fresh water, blood, and oil. So the priest would check him, look at him, and if the priest was convinced that the leprosy had gone, he brought fresh water. He would sprinkle him seven times, take off all those old clothes. He couldn't go wearing those old clothes again. He had to be sprinkled seven times, and he had to be washed with pure water. When he'd been washed, after he'd been washed and reclothed, then he could come back amongst these people again. He could come back into the camp. He had to be washed first, all over. But that wasn't the end of it. There had to be a lamb, had to be sacrificed. And the blood was caught in a basin. He's come back in the camp, but he still needs the blood. And when the priest takes the blood and he puts his finger into the blood and he puts it on the lobe of his right ear. He puts his finger again and puts it on the thumb of his right hand. He takes the blood and puts it on the big toe of his right foot. You see, this is all picture language. It's a picture of it. And it tells us in the New Testament that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. We need to be washed all over, but when we come back our people, we need a daily cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses, initially and day by day, moment by moment. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the blood of Christ. We need to be washed. We need to be anointed with the blood of Jesus. Those things that we heard that we should never have heard, and that we hear now when we should never hear, it needs to be cleansed. Those things that we've done, they need to be cleansed. Those places we've gone, we ought never to have gone, they need to be cleansed. What can cleanse? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the washing, the blood, is not enough. You need something extra. You need something to contribute to society now. You need the oil, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the oil will only come where the blood is. You need the blood first. So he takes the oil and he puts it on the same place he put the blood. On the same place he put the blood. On the same foot he put the blood. You need washing. You need daily cleansing. You need the daily power of the Holy Spirit on your ear to begin to hear, the voice of God. Things that you've never heard before. God is a speaking God. Did you realize that? He's not dumb. He's not deaf. God speaks. But unless you are anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, you'll never hear the voice of God. There are things he wants us to do. The works that I do, you shall do also. But we can't do that unless we're anointed. These hands are anointed with the power of God's Holy Spirit. There are places we have to go. He sent me to Africa. I don't know where he'll send. Maybe it's this village. I've found it's more difficult to get to our next door neighbours than to go to Africa. Far more difficult. We need the oil of God to be able to meet the people where we live, to our own families, to our own neighbours the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that's the power that he wants to give to you and to me today. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Jesus died. He rose again. He lives. He went to heaven. And he sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in him? Have you received that Spirit? Are you living daily in the power of that Spirit? You'll not do that unless you're cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, once and for all, and daily by that precious blood. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this story of our Lord Jesus Christ and this wonderful healing of this man that is cleansed from this awful, evil disease. We thank you that Jesus is just the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be forever. That the same Jesus is with us now, that whatever our need today, that Jesus is able to meet that need. And so, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. In his name, amen.